It seems like a lot of people have learned a lot of things about farms in recent years. Some of us didn't know much about where our food came from beyond the grocery store. But there's a world of information out there about food and the people who grow it for a living. And we get a real glimpse into their world in a documentary film called Gaining Ground, which profiles farmers in Oregon and California. And in the California case, it's an urban farm in the Bay Area. Gaining Ground comes to the Varsity Theater in Ashland tomorrow, Tuesday night at 7 p.m. We have the co-producers with us. Barbara Bernstein, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
And Elaine Velasquez is with us as well. Hi, Elaine.
Hi.
So one of you, tell us what got the project started. What was the original spark?
Well, we were interested in doing something about food. It seemed like a really important issue. It took us a while to get our bearings and figure out exactly the direction the film was going to go in, and that really came from the people that we met. And when we met the three farmers, or actually they're farmers and farm organizations in the film, we realized that these are the right people to follow, and their stories basically led the direction that the film took. And one of the farms is a grass seed farm that's transitioning to growing organic grains in Tangen, Oregon, right outside of Corvallis. There's a farm that was a commodity dairy farm for many, many generations, and they got driven out of business as a dairy farm and converted themselves into a chemical-free produce farm and marketing to local markets in the Portland area. And then the farm in Richmond, California is an urban farm in a very stressed inner city neighborhood called the Iron Triangle. And there it's a farm that's really focusing on developing community leaders amongst the young people and feeding a community that is a food desert that has no other healthy food access besides what they grow on this farm, which is called Urban Tills.
You had to cover some ground geographically. How long did it take just to find the people that you chose to profile in the piece?
Well, this is Elaine. It took a number of years. The first farmer we found fairly fast. She was obviously, her and her son, they seemed just right for the camera. And then we wandered around a bit, filmed a bunch of different people until we found the other. How long do you remember how long?
Well, actually, we found Vicki and Chris Hurdle, who are single farm, in the spring of 2011. And then we happened upon Urban Tills shortly after that. I was reading an article about urban agriculture and read this great quote from Doria Robinson, who's the director of Urban Tills, and decided, I have to talk to this woman. She sounds like she'd be perfect for the film, because we wanted to have some of the film take place in California, particularly urban agriculture, since it's kind of a center, as is Portland. But we wanted the film to be broader than just an Oregon film. So I emailed Doria. She emailed me right back, said, let's talk, sent me her phone number. We had this incredible conversation. And then about 3 weeks later, we were down in Richmond interviewing her. And then at the same time, we had talked to Harry McCormick in Corvallis, right outside of Corvallis, who started Oregon Tills many, many years ago. And he's been a real leader in organic farming and local food production in the region. And he kept talking about this grass seed farm that was converting to organic grains, which is Stafford Seed Farms in Tangent. And we got in touch with them through Harry, and they turned out to be in a really amazing story, too.
In all these cases, though, Elaine, did the people think the farmers were nuts as they began to transition from, well, in the case of Doria Robinson, they were just getting something started, but in the other cases, they were changing from what had been done in the past?
That is true. That is actually, that's one of the earliest interview we did with Vicki and her son Chris. You know, Vicki said, you know, my neighbors drive by and they say, you know, where's the grass seed and where's the wheat, and you know, you guys are crazy. And she was getting that a lot. For Willow and Harry and Stalford Seed Farms, there's a very large grass seed farm, and his wife has been trying to convert him for 16 years until he gave her 11 acres off of a 10,000 acre farm. But they've been doing. What was the original question?
The question is, they were also being told by the neighbors that they're crazy.
Oh, right, crazy. What, are you crazy? Yes. Poor Harry, who was a main farmer in Tangent, was always getting teased, and he said he stayed away as much as he could from the coffee houses, because the guys were always saying, what are those women got you doing out there? So, and as far as Urban Tills goes, she was just told not to do it. She said, you know, this, because it's a rough neighborhood, and she was doing a trail, rails to trails, so they just made these kind of barren trails through Richmond, and she decorated that, started and growing food for people, and said, people will tell her not to do it. They say, why are you doing that? Nobody wants to eat this stuff. It's out here. And, yeah, they all had their propitious beginnings where they just did what they wanted to do that was different.
Farmers Working Against the Odds are the people profiled in the film Gaining Ground. It's a documentary produced by our guests, Elaine Velasquez and Barbara Bernstein. Gaining Ground comes to the Varsity Theater in Ashland tomorrow night, Tuesday night at 7. You can join us now on The Exchange at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. So let's hear from some of the people. We did pull a couple of clips out of the film, and thanks for making it available on Vimeo. So first, let's go to Richmond and hear from Doria Robinson.
We grow large amounts of food so that people can eat fresh, organic produce in the middle of a city, either for free or for a price that they can afford. We live in the classic food desert. We have a grocery store, the other grocery store is just about to move out, Safeway is about to move out, so you have to travel pretty far, and if you don't have a car, it's pretty hard to get high-quality food.
So this is a really gritty-looking area, not well supplied with grocery stores, as we heard, and so, I mean, how long did it take Doria to get this off the ground, and how long has she been doing it, Barbara?
They've been doing it for 10 years. Actually, they had their 10th anniversary, 11 years, because 10 years ago was when they did the 10th anniversary celebration. And I'd say that after about 3 or 4 years, they really had buy-in from the community. And they now have, well, it's somewhere between 10 and 13 gardens, depends on which day you talk to Doria. But the main gardens, or the first gardens they started, were along, as Elaine described, the Greenway, which was called the Brown Way. It was basically a bike path and walking trail and had nothing growing on either side. It was just dirt. And so they put in a whole bunch of raised beds on part of the Greenway, and they put in berries, which they call Berryland. And then further down, about a half mile down the road, they put in what's called the edible forest, which is a forest, basically going to be a forest of fruit trees and edible plants. And I put in the whole, the understory of wild strawberries and other kinds of edible plants mocks the understory of a forest. And then they have the canopy of fruit trees. And that's really transformed the Greenway amazingly. They also have some gardens in schools. They took an abandoned schoolyard in the hills of Richmond and have a couple-acre farm that's called
Adams Crest
Farm. And now they're starting a new farm in North Richmond, which is going to be several acres, and it's a really ambitious project. They're going to not just be doing the farm, they're going to be having a learning garden, they're going to have a farm stand, and the whole thing's being run as a co-op.
Well, it's amazing stuff they're doing there in an urban area. But, you know, the people who are farmers out in more traditional farmland had to make some conversions of their own. I want to hear from Vicki Herbert here, and she's talking about, at this point, first changing the ideas that consumers come with about food.
Maybe people have to change their eating habits. Maybe they got to quit eating tomatoes in December and bananas year-round and start figuring out what grows within 20 miles home, and it's really healthy for you. I mean, you could live on it. You just got to quit wanting so much. And if the consumers could get that mindset and the farmers could get the mindset that, yeah, the consumer's going to appreciate us if we grow it, then I think we could get this valley back into something edible.
Now, Elaine, you and Barbara mentioned that this was originally a dairy farm that Vicki and now her son are running. What prompted the conversion from dairy to organic fruits and vegetables?
Well, they, as Vicki says, she got a call that the feds were out looking for, what do they call them?
Animal feed operations.
Yeah, like animal
feed. Basically, CAFOs.
Like CAFOs, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Concentrated animal feed.
Right,
now, right.
Right. And so they went to a farm, and it's over Dairy Creek. There are a lot of farms over Dairy Creek. That's why it's called what it is. And they told her that her cows were too close to the water, and she had to either move the buildings or sell the cows. And they couldn't afford to sell the cows.
But they couldn't afford to move the buildings.
Mm-hmm. So right, that's it.
So they sold the cows.
They couldn't afford anything, so they just moved. No, they started growing produce, and that became really successful. And, they came into Portland and got involved in the farmers markets, which were just beginning then.
and had a huge amount of success and still do with that. Yeah, actually, their farm's about a half hour outside of Portland, so it's pretty close. But before they started growing vegetables and selling in the farmers markets and having the CSA that they have now, they felt very detached from Portland. It was a place they never went into. And now Vicky says, now the city's our friend. And it's a really great example of showing how food can be a connection between rural areas and urban areas when urban eaters actually start to know the rural farmers that are growing their food.
Yeah, Vicky made it sound like she was scared of Portland a bit, but she's definitely gotten to know it better and appreciate it a whole lot more.
And she's been coming into town a lot for our screening, so she's
gotten past her fear of Portland. Now, when she was a little girl, the only reason they went into Portland was to go to the dentist. And, you know, it was a classical rural city fear thing.
Barbara Bernstein and Elaine Velasquez are the producers, the co-producers of Gaining Ground. It's about farmers in both Oregon and California. And we're talking about it here on the Jefferson Exchange. It's coming to Ashland tomorrow night at 7. I want to meet the third family, or the third set of people profiled here. And these are the grass seed farmers we were talking about in the Willamette Valley. And Harry Stalford, after the fact, characterizes his initial resistance to changing.
We are grass seed farmers. And by damn it, we're going to be grass seed farmers. And we're not going to do anything else. We're not going to switch over to organic farming, especially organic farming. My gosh, you know, I have to live in this community.
And I think you mentioned before, Barbara, that Harry was actually afraid to go to the coffee shops and stuff, you know, because people would talk to him about, what's your wife doing? And Willow Coberly really is the one who pushed this along. I mean, and she worked him for how long?
She's been 16 years of asking him to grow something, you know, and him saying, they won't grow, the weed pressure is too much, it's just not going to grow, you can't do it without pesticides. That was his line. And he's a classical, stubborn, we did this yesterday, so we have to do it today kind of farmer. And with her tenacity and vision, it's gone really well.
And she is really committed to local. In fact, her idea of local is... not exactly the same as like some of the stores around here where, you know, local can go all the way down to San Francisco. Her idea of local is it starts out very local, like in her community within a few miles. And they do sell to Portland now and a little bit to Seattle, but their focus is around the Corvallis area and providing food for that area.
And the relationships with the customers that have formed from these farmers in all the locations, Vicky Herbert in particular, sounds like she really got schooled by them. And she was showing up at the farmers market in Portland and explaining, well, we still use some chemicals. And what kind of reaction did she get?
Well, some people wouldn't buy her food. And she decided she had to change. It wasn't just because she wanted to have people buy her food. It was also she was forming this relationship, and she saw the faces of the people that she fed her food to every week. Where before, when they were growing grass seed and exporting wheat, you know, it just went off. The wheat went to Asia, and the
and their milk just went to who knows who.
Yeah, so it's just a totally different relationship.
You know, it is a gorgeous film visually, and I notice, Elaine Velasquez, that you are the principal photographer here. How long did this labor of love go on?
Well, it took us about 5 years to finish. Maybe even a lot. We finished it, and then we finished it, and then we finally finished it.
It was three times,
yeah. You know, we had a deadline. We couldn't color correct it or sound mix it, so that's when we first opened. But anyway, now it's, and I tightened it. So it's really, it's been about five. We started, what?
In 2011.
Yeah, there's going to be obviously no steady climb for anybody, particularly in film. There's always got to be some adversity, and this is real life, and there was adversity in real life. Tell us about, Barbara, if you would, the fire at the Chevron refinery in Richmond, or fires, I guess, plural.
Yeah, actually it went on for several days. We just happened to be lucky. We were down there to do the last shoot in Richmond and film the celebration of the young people that go through an apprentice program every summer and learn how to farm. And the day before we're going to start our first interviews, the Richmond refinery, the Chevron refinery in Richmond caught fire, a big fire. And they had a shelter in place, and sirens are going all night, and 1,500 people went to the hospital with respiratory issues. And it completely changed the week that we were there, and it basically changed the course of Bourbon Tilth for about the next year. Because they didn't know how contaminated their soil was. They didn't know if it was safe for them to to sell their food or even to eat the food. And then there were all kinds of health issues that were coming up as a result of the fire. So we followed them through this whole period of not knowing what to do, and finally they were able to get their soil tested, found out that there was nothing really horrible in the soil. And in fact, most of their gardens are pretty clean. And then about a year after the fire, actually more than a year after the fire, they started their programs back up again. And it was interesting because it really transformed Urban Tilton, basically being oriented just towards growing food and doing service for the community, to developing a whole environmental justice consciousness. And it was really an eye-opener for the young people that were involved in the program to understand the inequities, to understand the actual relationship that Chevron has for the community and how little that company cares about the people who live in Richmond and how much it really controls the community as well.
And as has been pointed out a number of times, if you're poor, that's when you tend to live closer to industrial operations.
Right. And
yes, that's an important part of it. And it's also that these fires are not new. They have the worst safety record. This particular refinery has the worst safety record in California. And it happens every about 5-6 years. And so, you know, it's not like the company is not exactly concerned about this.
And I want to give a final clip here because despite all the adversities they've faced, there is quite an upbeat sort of approach at Urban Tilth. And here's Sherman Dean, one of the people involved with the project, talking about how it's transforming the community in Richmond.
There's a lot of positive things going on. I think if we start highlighting more of that, we'll start changing the mentality of the people that live in Richmond so they don't just feel like we live in this bad place. It's all this dying and people always shooting, people always gang. Richmond is really amazing. If you think about it, the climate, we have one of the best climates in California, right here in Richmond. We can grow anything, any time of the year almost.
Yeah, pretty much the whole year. It's a great season for Urban Tilth. And how much bigger has the operation gotten, Barbara, over the years since they started it?
Well, I started out with just a few beds in the Greenway, and now they've, not exactly sure how many farms, but they probably have at least 10. And this big project that's going on now is the North Richmond Farm, which is in an even more distressed neighborhood than the Greenway. And they have they just broken ground, and they have really big plans for this project. And I'm actually looking forward to going back down there soon and sometime soon and seeing how it's taking off. Because when we were there, we were just filming basically some very scruffy undeveloped land that needed a lot of loving care, and now it's getting that loving care.
Okay, Elaine, just before we go, it sounds like you're taking the film on a bit of a tour right now.
Yes, we have been. We have been Portland, Astoria, Hood River,
Eugene. And then we're coming down to Ashland, and then we're coming back up here to show it in Sandy in a couple weeks.
And Salem.
Salem, where we're showing it at the Progressive Film Series in Salem on March 21st. And I just got an email yesterday that there's somebody who wants to take it out to Eastern Oregon. So we're hoping to do a tour of Harney, Union, and Baker County sometime late winter, early spring.
Well, it's great stories about farmers, both urban and rural, and changing with the environments and the tastes of consumers around the world. The film is called Gaining Ground. It'll play at the Varsity Theater in Ashland tomorrow night, Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Elaine Velasquez and Barbara Bernstein are the co-producers. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you very much. Okay. By the way, Vicky's last name is Hurdle.
Hurdle, okay.
Just in case she finds out that you've called her something else.
Okay, very fair. Thanks for correcting that. Okay.
Thank you for your interview. Really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.